This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, Melissa. I almost wanted to turn around and look at who is she talking about. Is there someone else behind me that she's talking about? I mean, those are such amazing words. For a person that is still alive. It's a bit too... I'm really grateful. We were chatting the other week at the back with Melissa. We're like, how could Ross put you after... I'm like, how could you ask me to preach after Siko has preached? I'm like, guys, that's not fair. And she's laughing. She's like, yeah, you know, Ross, I had to set you up. But I'm blessed. I'm so happy that I have part of that anointing at home. Yes. thank you, guys. Thank you. I want to thank the eldership and the board for the opportunity to stand before you guys and speak the word. I want to thank the pastors, Pastor Ross, Melissa, and all the elders. I really want to honor them for this beautiful evening. Thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful to be married to a beautiful wife, obviously, as you have heard. And some years ago, I asked God for a wife, and I was like, okay, God, I want here to be this height, slightly lower than me. And then God gave it to me, and he gave it to me, heart pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, I love it. The kids always ask, are you a tanny or are you a kid? So that's so good. Thank you. I'm just going to speak briefly, just want to check my time, briefly about the big picture. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just a few scriptures that I'll read, but I'm just going to share as well a bit of part of my testimony, working with God just for the few years that I have known him. So I'm just gonna start with next slide, please. With why are we talking about the big picture? We obviously have seen it in movies. We go to the movie, to the theater, and we wear those 3D glasses, and understand that there is a part in God's house or in God's love that even 3D glasses won't help you to be able to fathom, to be able to appreciate the depth of his love. You need something bigger, something that hasn't been invented yet. I really love the Bible says in Ephesians 3, it says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power and through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in you, in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of God. So having read the scripture and just meditating on it, I'm like, there are so many dimensions to God's love, and we have hardly scratched the surface of his love. We really just at the beginning of scratching the surface of his love. So the big picture, just as an introduction, I'm trying to get to appreciate, to scratch what God can do, what God has done, and what God wants to do in your life as an individual and in our lives as a community. And it has been primarily through the currency of his love that he established his throne in our hearts, so as to establish his kingdom and start to build up what he wants to express. Maybe I'll probably just touch two aspects or two dimensions of it tonight, just to try and see a big picture from two perspectives, from two dimensions. So the first one is to speak about the dimension of space. We are in Durbanville tonight, Yes, thank you. We are. If someone were to give you a location pin, so this is what you will get. You try and zoom in or zoom out and try and get a picture of where that particular place is. Like tonight, you can see from where we are in Durbanville, and you get to see a part of some of the places in Cape Town that you know. But there are times where we want to see an even bigger picture than this, because this is a helicopter view or aerial view of where we are. But when we zoom in further, we are able to see an even bigger picture. So the higher you go, the clearer the picture becomes. I always want to get a clear. I'm a software developer. I'm a software engineer in Century City. So when we start on a project, when we scope a project, where the architecture of the project, I want to understand the high level, what the system ought to do before we start building it. And the higher you go, the clearer the picture it is. And it is so in Christ as well, that sometimes we just need to step out of the chaos. We just need to step out of our daily routine, our daily life, and often that's going on around us. And just pause, selah, and think and meditate and zoom out and see the bigger picture. So when you zoom out further again, there are many levels of a bigger picture. You even see a bigger picture of the globe. And I think some years ago, Louis Kuklia, this song that came out, Indescribable. And how they explained how the Milky Way galaxy, how we are such a small, when you zoom out, we're such a small component. When you zoom out further, you see another even bigger picture. If some of you can remember this video that came out a few years ago. And I began to say, if I can zoom out in Christ, what picture do I get? What can I see? Because this is the space zooming out. So I went to the Bible again. I'm like, okay, from Genesis to Revelation, Lord, show me what you are doing and what you intend to do. And I found that there's another level of zooming as well to see the big picture, which is the timeline view. I got this picture with credits to that particular church, and it gives you I get to see a full holistic view of what God has been doing, is doing, and will do, and my place in it, and what is my portion in it. Because I'm not just existing, I'm not just living, I'm not just a statistic of the 7 billion people on earth that were alive. There has to be a significance. What is my place? Am I just going through the motions? But God says no. There's a particular reason why Christ died. And as we will see that from the garden, for some of you that know your Bible, you will see that, thank you for that second slide. So I added the timelines there. You will see that from the patriarchs, from Abraham, which is roughly around Genesis 12, right up to for the next 1,000 years. Let me summarize and say, from Abraham to David, it's about 1,000 years. If you know your Bible, you know the timelines. And then from David to Jesus, another 1,000 years. So it's about 2,000 years. And then Jesus, obviously, 33.5 years. And then from Jesus' time to today, we've got the 2,000 years. So this is just to give us an overview, timeline view of where we are in terms of time, in terms of the big picture, in terms of time. So if you look at that story, we have Abraham. The story starts with Abraham, the father, and then there's Isaac, and then there's Jacob, then there's Joseph, who are called the patriarchs. And then from then we have the nation of Israel, the 12 tribes or 12 sons of Israel became the 12 tribes and so on. And as generations went by, they became a large family and they became the nation Israel. And it's from this nation of Israel that, starting with Abraham, a very small, insignificant act where God spoke to Abraham and Abraham believed. Very simple, just like you are sharing about trusting God for the impossible. Sometimes we don't see what is happening to us, what is at stake when we have to trust God and believe God. We sometimes think that it's just maybe my job, or it's just like maybe I just want a child. Abraham just wanted a child. He didn't know what was at stake. He didn't know the bigger picture. All he wanted was, I just want to be normal. I just want to have a baby. And you could be in that place, look, God, I'm praying. I just want this. And probably you just think that it's just about you. But there's a bigger chain and a bigger picture that you cannot fathom, that you cannot understand at this particular time, because you are in space and in time. But when God draws you out and sees you in space and in time, if you were to fast forward 1,000 years into the future, you probably see how significant your walk of faith is today. Sometimes we undermine, or sometimes we don't fully appreciate. Sometimes we go through the motions of our walk, not realizing how significant, how critical it is. But when you zoom out, Abraham, I just want a son. That's it, God. And God appears to Abraham, and a simple act of believing God, and Abraham has a child. And that was the beginning of a lineage that was not just going to save Israel or Abraham and cause him joy, but God broke into the world through a simple man who wanted a child. What is it that you are believing God today? Sometimes you think it's just my selfish ambitions. The Bible says it is God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When your heart and your life is in Christ, some of your desires, what you think are your desires, it's actually God who's leading you step by step towards a bigger picture, a bigger vision, a bigger agenda that he has. So Abraham, in his walk, he one day, God, after having given him the sign Isaac, God tells him, take this boy and take him to that mountain and go and sacrifice him. It's horrible. You think it's this child sacrifice. But then Abraham goes and to a mountain that then was called whatever name it is, but today it is said that very mountain is actually the mountains in the mountain ranges of Golgotha. And we know Abraham wanted to sacrifice his son, and God said, stop. And we know how that whole story mirrored the coming of Christ himself 2,000 years before. God began to speak prophetically in the actions and in the ordinary day-to-day life of an old man. What I want us to grasp tonight is that God is at work in the day, in the seemingly mundane day-to-day aspects of our lives. It takes a discerning heart to project, to zoom out and realize that, you know what, this life might look small and insignificant, but in the hands of God, it is huge. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want us to focus a bit on a man called, then after Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, let's focus a bit on the man Jacob. Jacob's story. Thank you. So having explained about the patriarchs, I want us to see this man who had heard about a God that blessed his grandfather, Abraham. And this man, God himself, he says, Jacob, I loved. So God himself testifies to this man that this man I already loved whilst he was in his mother's womb. I think it's in the book of Romans when God says, Jacob, I loved. But he didn't feel that way in this particular situation. There are times when the devil, because sometimes he has an understanding of the bigger picture, he can see that this guy, he has a great future, and he tries to frustrate our lives and cause a lot of confusion around us, that at the end of the day, we lose sight of God's love. We even begin to doubt what God has said because of the individual and the immediate circumstances. So what happened to Jacob is that he was a con man, a fraudster early on, and he cheated Esau of the blessing, and then he killed a goat, and he did a lot of things to get his way to the blessing. Then one day, what he had done, his children did to him. One day the kids, they went out. We all know the story of Joseph, and then they said this Joseph, they were jealous of him, they threw him into a pit, took an animal, killed it, took blood, put blood onto Joseph's clothes. They got to Jacob's father and say, your son, we found these clothes, maybe some wild animal has killed him. And Jacob was distraught because he loved that young man. And we all know the story. Joseph goes to Egypt, and then one day there's a famine, severe national famine, and many, many years, he has to leave his country in search of food. And eventually, he's at a place, he's very old. In his mind, he has lost Joseph. In his mind, all the promises God has spoken, there is no visible manifestation of it. Because sometimes when God speaks, I've had stuff that God spoke to me 15 years ago that I'm like, God, what's happening? But in all these years, his faithful remains true. And all of a sudden, things happen. And then Jacob, the kids go to Egypt, to cut the long story short. They come back and then they tell Jacob that this man who is the chief in Egypt told us to bring your youngest son Benjamin. And this man is so terrified at the thought of the fact that I've already lost a son. And now you're about, he doesn't think about anything else. He thinks, I'm losing it. I'm losing my son. I'm losing my kids. I don't even know what's going to happen in Egypt. He's thinking about being enslaved. He's thinking of the risk of losing his family. And he's in a very difficult position. When you read the previous chapters in Genesis, you can actually feel the heartbeat that this guy is so concerned. He's a frail old man. He doesn't know what to do. And the person in Egypt has asked that, go and bring your son, but also bring your father, bring everyone. And he's like, I'm too old and too frail, and God has spoken all these promises, and now I'm being put into the hands of the Egyptians. And so he's asking God, what should I do? In his heart, he's searching. He's like, should I go? Should I not? He's in a valley of decision. He's distressed. He's asking God, do I go? Do I stay? I think some of us have been to a place where we really want God. I have to make this decision. God, I need you. Like we've been to those places where, God, do I go left or do I go right? It's not clear. And you know that this decision will affect your destiny. And if you get it wrong, you know that that's it. That's the end of you. So those moments where we really want God to speak. He goes, he sacrifices. Next slide, please. He sacrifices. And then all of a sudden, at night, God appears to him in a vision and says, and so Israel set out with all that was with him. And when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifice to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And Jacob said, here I am, he replied. And then God says, I am the God of your father, he said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. And I'll go down to Egypt with you, and I'll surely bring you back again. What I see in this story is that we have already seen from the timeline sheet, or if you have read your Bible, we are reading this with the benefit of hindsight. We already know that last statement, I read that, I'm like, wait a minute. God speaking, you are saying to Jacob, an old frail man that's fearful, and you are saying, I will surely bring you back again. And I'm like, I know the story. I know how it ended. How does God tell a man that is about to die that I will bring you back to your land, go down there, and yet he knows that the man is going to die in Egypt? You read it again and again, you're like, okay, God, what am I missing here? Go down to Egypt, and I'll surely bring you back again. And if it was you and I, we'd be like, no, God, that's not true. Because we know that Jacob died in Egypt. And then that makes me ask a question. What are the things that God has spoken to me and my understanding of his timeline and my own understanding, and his was like, maybe my timeline and his timeline are different, or maybe there's something that I'm not getting here. I mean, sometimes God has spoken to you and you go back, you're like, but did God really say that? Because in a season where you can't see, like, realistically, there's no way this man is going to come back. You look at the situation like, you know what, the situation, yeah, God has said that, but the reality on the ground, guys, is this. And you're like, either I didn't hear God properly, or there's something that's at play here. And what I realize is that God was not just speaking to Jacob. When God speaks to you, because his view, he sees a bigger picture. When God was speaking to Jacob, he wasn't just speaking to Jacob's earthly life of 100 years. You are speaking to Jacob's entirety, the wholeness of his life, from beginning to end. God was speaking to Jacob not just for the day that he lives and dies, but for his entire life. Because when we die, I realize that our lives don't end when we die. As far as God is concerned, our lives go beyond the days we die. Because God brought Jacob back to the land. At first, I'm like, okay, Jacob is like, okay, all right. He tells his son Joseph, it's like, okay, bring my bones back to Israel when I die, because God promised he will bring me back. Because in his mind, if God is going to bring me back, he can't bring me back alive, you might as well try and help and bring my bones. And you'll be like, those are your bones, that's not you, dude. So you get to that place where you're like, okay, I'm trying to assist God here. So, because God is not a liar, I have to try and, you know, help him. But we know the story. Once we gain God's eternity view, we will start to appreciate the small things and the big things. Because eventually, the fears that he had of slavery, of enslavement, of losing everything, eventually happened. His descendants were enslaved for 400 years. We know the story. So when God was speaking to Jacob, he wasn't just speaking to him. You were speaking to his descendants, to all the people that's going to come after him. Sometimes I ask myself, what is it that I do today that's going to have an effect after I die? Not just on my physical descendants. Next slide, thank you. My story, I remember one day, some of you who know Milnerton. So I was driving from, I think on School Street. And then I then passed through the place between Phoenix and Josh Lovo. I'm just driving there. And as I drive, I'm just okay. It's a weekend. No, I'm just, you know, driving through and seeing places. And then something pricks in my heart, like a sharp object. And I'm like, oh, okay, what is it? And then I start to talk to God. What is it? What's happening, God? And then the Lord begins to speak to me. And as the Lord began to speak to me, my life began to flash back. He says, do you see that kid's play park? There was a kid's play park right there. And I'm like, yes, Lord, I can see it. He's like, what does that remind you of? And all of a sudden, I remember 20 years ago when we were playing as kids in a kids' park like that. And then these guys, this group of charismatic preachers came, put up their PA system and everything, and they began to preach the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. And I was a small kid. All I wanted was entertainment. And for us, we're like, we found huge entertainment. So we're going to enjoy ourselves tonight. And we went there, we're being entertained, we're jumping around. And I'm pretty sure that they also were thinking, you know what, we have put out these nets, we are targeting the adults, and we really want to see people saved. And for some strange reason, when this preacher began to preach, my heart began to pump. And the man began to lay a clear vision of eternity and of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I was a little kid, and I don't know, my heart began to rapture. And when by the time the altar call was called, I stepped forward. I gave my life to Jesus. I said, God, here is my life. And at that time, I didn't understand what was happening. But on this day, I'm driving through Slovo. I'm seeing this place. And my heart began to pump. And he's asking me, he's like, do you think that if these guys didn't come to your park that day, do you think you'd be driving the car that you are driving? Do you think you will be living where you are living? Do you think you will have made it to university? And the reality of it struck that God knew my life 20 years ago. He had it all planned and all figured out. And he had to get me into, and he aligned a time. I was just playing. All he wanted was entertainment. And then he used that moment, simple moment of entertainment, he turned my life around. And I began to weep, I began to cry, I began to realize the bigger picture, I began to realize that in the mundane things of life, God is at work. I was not aware of the bigger picture, but all of a sudden, everything became clear, everything became crystal clear, and everything became clear from my past, every significant part of my life in the past. God began to illuminate it with light, and I begin to understand that God has our lives all laid out. And sometimes it's through the mundane things that goes. So I'm like, if I can flash back 20 years ago, how much further can I flash back and see his plan about my life? How much further can I flash back and see the bigger picture in terms of timeline view? And he began to speak to me and he says, way before Jesus was born, he had a plan for my life. And that is why someone had to die on the cross for me to be born again, for me to be saved. I think from that day, my relationship with God changed. I began to realize, you know what, sometimes we cry about the small things in life. But when you zoom out and realize that God is still in the small things in a bigger way. What am I saying? Next slide, please. There is a man, just one few more examples. There's a man in the Bible called David. One day, David is sitting by his mansion, and he's thinking, he now has peace. You know, when you have achieved everything in life. You have a huge balance sheet, a huge net worth. And then he's like, okay, but this is not fair. I'm living in this mansion, but why is God dwelling in a tent? And it comes in his heart because of his love for God. The dimensions of God's love. He begins to remember the one that brought him here. And he says, God one day says, David is a man after my own heart. He's a man that he has loved. And as David was thinking, he's like, God, I want to build in his heart. He's thinking in his heart, I want to build God a house. And then God responds to the thought of his heart. He says, you do not have to build me a house. I do not dwell in tents. And he says, and your house, in 2 Samuel 7, verse 16, he says, but don't worry, this is what is going to happen. Then God turns around that. He turns around the simple desire to build God a house, a simple desire, simple love. And he turns around and says, you think you love me? I will show you real love. I will show you the dimensions of love that you cannot fathom in your own life. And he says, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Thus says the Lord, if you break my covenant, Jeremiah, with the day and my covenant with night, so that day and night will not come at the appointed time, then also my covenant with David, my servant, will be broken. So he shall not have a son to reign on his throne. God is saying, he's saying I've established a covenant with you. You are going to perpetually have a king on the throne. I'm like, forever. I mean, eternally, perpetually. And we all know that spoke about Christ, how Christ eventually became the son of David because he was of the lineage of David. So that perpetually, eternally, there will always be someone who sits on the throne who is a child of David. That means, next slide. that means, in other words, he told David, your perpetual offspring will always be on the throne. The Son of God himself is called the Son of David. So this is what I understand. It's like God is saying 100 years worth of lifetime is not enough to express my love for you. And my love for you cannot be experienced in the 100 years of your life. I can do all that I can do to you, but this here is how I'm going to express my love, a dimension of my love that you have not known. Perpetually, for eternity, there is going to be a king who is your child that sits on the throne. I'm like, this is also a picture of the love of Christ for us. And Christ would go on further, like, you know what? I love you, son. And I can express my love in the 80, 100 years when you are on earth, but it's not enough for you. The time is too limited. It's not enough for you to really fully experience all the dimensions of my love. The breadth, the depth. It says, it's from this time that David began to have an understanding of the future. Remember our timeline. He began to peer into the future where for eternity we will dwell with Christ, because Christ says, this is not enough. Come and be with me and live with me forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We will be with him forever. I remember one day when I lost my brother. I was in my lowest. I lost my young brother. He was very intelligent. He was probably the most greater potential than me, and dynamic and everything. And I'm sitting down, and I'm like, God, why would you take such a bright, intelligent light? And probably should you have taken me? I was so distressed. I didn't mourn at the time, but I didn't realize that because I didn't mourn at the time, I still needed to mourn and express that. So for 2 years, I had this grief inside of my heart about a young man who was taken in his prime. I struggled. I think I got to a place where I was serving God, but I was almost bitter deep inside me. And I'm like, no, that man should not have died. I remember struggling with that for many years. I think 2 or 3 years. I still preached eternal life, mind you. I still preached that I believe that we'll go to heaven. But there was no connection between my heart and my head. I believed it mentally, that this is what the Bible says, that those that die in Christ, you know, they do well, the blessed hope. All the verses that you can quote for me, I could quote you off my head. But in my heart, it didn't make a difference in my heart. Some of us have been at a place where you know all that you know, but in your heart, it's not making a change. It was hard, it was difficult. Then one day, it just took one day, the Lord woke me up early in the morning. And it's like, okay, I know you have questions. And he showed me clear picture. It was like I was watching a movie. Clear picture of the last hours of my brother. Everything in detail. And it's like, and he's begin to show me, this is what happened with your brother. And he begins to show me. And after that, he shows me my brother as he is. And he says, you see, he is with me in heaven. He is happy, he's cheerful. He's more than happy to be on that side of life than on this side of life. And I'm like, from that day, never again stressed. In fact, I was so much more happier. And we begin to think that sometimes we believe these things, we don't believe them. And eventually, my heart caught up with the doctrine in my head that indeed he is a God of eternity, that death is not the end of your life. And what does that mean as we try and conclude? If we say death then is not the end of your life, it means that your life, the spiritual value you create today does not end the day you die. It means the daily activities, the ministry, the work, it's not just about your physical offspring, because now in Christ, back then it was about your descendants, but now in Christ, it is about being part of a bigger family. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, we have this cloud of witnesses, that, and therefore let us run the race with perseverance, because we are part of a bigger family that have died in the past, that lived. All the guys, they are cheering us on. They're saying, keep on, not give up. You could be discouraged, but there is Paul, there is Peter, there's all the guys that went through what you have gone. They're saying, go on, keep on. It doesn't matter what your situation is like. He's like, we are part of a bigger family, and whatever we input today, the people that are going to come after us, they are going to look back and say, so and so shared with me Christ. So and so, I was discouraged. He gave me a prophetic word. That thing that you did is going to echo for eternity, because it doesn't end the day you die. Our lives are not built to be temporary, but they are built to be permanent. Whatever happens in our day, whatever happens in our time, The grace, the spiritual value, the small things that look insignificant when we come to church, because the world has defined our faith as foolishness. Paul says the foolishness of preaching the gospel. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't have any monetary value. When you ask someone of your net worth, we do not put the balance sheet or the assets of your spiritual journey. But your spiritual journey has a huge balance sheet in the kingdom of God. It is a huge asset that tips all the because our net worth, what is your net worth? Your real net worth should not just count only the assets and the cars and the houses you have, because you have even far much more value beyond the physical things that stay on earth. Because the Lord says for everything, we do not realize how the transactions on a daily life, the small transactions of worshiping God, of giving someone a word, of sharing, how they are always adding up to our eternal net worth. I want to encourage someone tonight, even as we begin to conclude, that your life is bigger than you think. Your life as a born-again, spirit-filled, saved child of God is bigger than what the world says. It is bigger than you ever thought. There's something bigger and greater at stake than you will ever think. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you. Let's just fast forward to the end. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Joseph believed the grave is not the end. His life, his faith, and God's promise to his grandfather Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham did not end with the grave. He believed he lives even after his body has died. He believed in the resurrection and the blessed hope 2,000 years before Christ has made it. In Christ, our spiritual value will outlive our lives. Therefore, when we know these things, why should we know these things? Because it creates a difference in the way we value these small things, in the way we value our walk with God, and in the way we trust God, even though it is still far. The Bible says in Hebrews, it lists a great heroes of faith. It lists Abraham, Daniel, and all these great guys. And it says some of them died believing God and not having received the promise, but still they died believing. They went to the grave believing. Their faith is far much more precious because they never gave up because of time. When you don't give up, the Bible says, he who overcomes, Revelation 2 verse 7, Jesus says, he who overcomes, I'll give him some of the hidden manna. There is a reward. There is a reward to those that overcome that Jesus has promised. And just as we, I'm going to ask the worship team just to come as we conclude. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Next slide, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just want to speak to someone who is feeling discouraged tonight. God has spoken to you things that there are days when it doesn't make sense. You were excited when God spoke to you a certain word, when God started doing something in your life. But then there are days when it doesn't all make sense. Because we live in a society that does not value spiritual currency. There are days when you feel like Jacob. You feel frail. You feel tired. You feel, this is it. This is the end. Time is gone. There is no rectifying this situation. But sometimes the Bible says the reward is in the faith. The reward is in trusting and believing God. The Bible says there are men that have made an example. They went until they believed God until the very end. And they still believed God even after they died. I hope you got that. They still believed God even after they died, because your life does not end at the grave. I want to encourage someone tonight and say, there is a cloud of witnesses. They are cheering us on. Sometimes it's just a nudge. I remember accidentally I shared the gospel with a workmate. I had not even planned to share that. And unexpectedly, he gave his life to Jesus right in my car. And I'm like, I didn't expect this to happen. I was just reading and asking these guys questions, just like an interview thing. And sometimes God plans things and does not tell us, yet he uses us in those plans. And I was so surprised when a year later, this man is so on fire for Christ. And I thought that was just a freak accident. I thought that he was just, you know, he was just going through the motions and trying to impress me and just to get away with. And I wasn't even pushing. And a year later, this man is so on fire for Christ. He's bringing his brother to church. His brother is born again now because of him. And I think, and I'm like, God, a year earlier, if I had not led this man to Christ, how many lives would I have hindered from eternity? Because the many lives that this man has been able to touch, I realized I was the key missing link, the chain that got this whole bigger picture activated. And I'm like, if I had just thought, you know what? This is work, this is church, these are two different things. I could have robbed someone, another family, and that family, of their eternal worth in Christ Jesus. Sometimes our seemingly insignificant and mundane chart, God just knows how to turn it around. I pray that, why do we share this? I pray that you align yourself. You see the bigger picture. You align yourself. God has a big picture for every one of us. And align yourself with that bigger picture. Align yourself with the destiny that God has for you. Not just for you, but for others through you. I pray that God may open your eyes to see the significant moments. It may not be every day, but there are significant moments in our lives that we may not be aware of, but that your eyes may open. And then it also encourages, seeing the big picture also encourages you in a moment of difficulty, in a season of storms, so that you are not caught up in the storm, you can still see the bigger picture. I pray that the Lord may awaken that deep desire to be part of this chain, to be part of this timeline of destiny, to contribute and to be part and parcel of whatever He's doing today that's going to affect the next 100 years. Whatever that He's doing today, that's not just going to affect your personal family, but your family in Christ, because whatever you saw in Christ becomes credited to your account in eternity balance sheet. I pray that God brings back an awareness, bring back a discernment again in our lives, bring back again a valuing of spiritual things above everything else, because and helps us to realize the key moments that He is at work, and that we may be able to respond to the small nudging of the Spirit and just begin to follow through, even if we don't know the full picture. So that small step by step, we can begin to align our lives and let Him have full reign. So, Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you. We thank you for speaking to our hearts. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that is in our bones. We thank you that, Lord, you have made us to be the stars that shine. You have made us not to just to be people that are a statistic that are just passing on, but you have made us to shine in the universe. Lord, we thank you. We give you glory and we give you honor, and we appreciate your goodness and your glory. We bless the people that have heard your word. And we thank you, Lord, for every minister of the gospel that has stayed and preached from this pulpit. We bless you and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.